Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So appreciate you tuning in today. Hope that your day is going well. And as you listen to the broadcast today, I'm going to do a standalone message today. I want to talk to you about the subject of courage, okay? And so many people are lacking courage. When you think about courage, courage is having that ability to be encouraged even when pressure's coming against you. It is that ability to keep on keeping on, even when the odds are stacked against you, even when people are coming against you, because you're driven by something that is much more deeper than those who are coming against you. And I want to talk to you about the importance of God's call upon your life. You know, so many people miss, I think, the full potential that God has for them because they lack the courage that they need to follow through with what God has called them to do. If God has called you to do something, God gives you a word, and He gives you a work. And when you follow through with that word and that work, He always has His provision. When I was just a young man at the age of 31, my wife and I had three kids, and we really prayed about starting a church, and I had no idea about starting a church. I never really even wanted to start a church. But after praying about it, we just felt, man, the Lord wants us to do this, and it's not really anything that we were, wasn't on my bucket list. It wasn't something I had prepared for in my life. I knew God called me to ministry. We were in a very good position. I had served as a youth pastor for 8 years, and we were doing good. I mean, we had three kids. Life is going good. I get paid pretty good in an area that the church is growing, the youth ministry is growing, and we had a bunch of teenagers. And I remember one time we took 250 kids to King's Dominion, and things were rocking and rolling, and I said, man, life is good. Why do I want to leave this, right? But God placed upon our heart to move, and so 23 years ago now, we moved and we started the church. And I remember the night before we had our very first service, and we had no money, we had no congregation, we had nobody that was going to come along and help us, and we just started praying. And I remember the night before our first service, I made a mistake of being in town 6 months and having our first service. I don't recommend that, but that's how we did it. But the night before our first service, my father-in-law says, now, Cal, what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? And I said, you know, I hadn't really thought about that. I don't have a plan B. This is the plan that God has for us. And so I says, it's going to work out. And I hadn't really thought about it not working out until I said that. But when you think about God calling you to do something, you may not have all of the information as to what He wants you to do, but you have a clear purpose of where He is leading you, what He's calling you to do. And so I want to talk today about Gideon and his call, and we're going to be looking at what God did in his life. And Gideon's story is found in the book of Judges. And in Judges chapter 1, Joshua died, and he led the people of Israel to defeat much of the promised land. And the people prayed, and they were asking God to help them, and God replies, and He does help them, and God gives them incredible victory as they're going about and conquering the rest of the land, and the Israelites are doing great things, and they're doing unbelievable things. They're defeating city after city, and they continue to grow. Each of the 12 tribes of Israel are now involved in taking back the land, and the tribe of Manasseh decides that they're going to get off track, and they decide not to obey God's commands. And then Ephraim figures, if Manasseh isn't driving out the enemies, why should we? And then this influences Zerubbabel, and they decide not to drive out the enemies. And then it's Asher and Naphtali, and this downward progression we begin the book of Judges with. And in Judges chapter 2, God is pretty ticked off with Israel. I mean, look all that God had done for them. And we find out the reason that they would not and they could not drive out the enemy of the outside is because there was evil within them on the inside of them. Judges chapter 2:11 says that they did what was evil in the sight of God, and they served Baal. So God raises up these men and women judges, not to judge the world, but to judge God's people. The Lord was with the judges, and when the people listened, God blessed them. And when the people didn't listen, the enemies came in and kicked them around and beat them up. We see this up and down pattern all throughout the book of Judges. When the people repented and they did right, God blessed them and defeats their enemies. And when the people rebelled and refused to do the right thing, God used their enemies to defeat them. In Judges 6:1, it says, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. So the reason the nation of Israel was fearful of their enemies is because they had not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse number 10 says that God had a plan. The enemy was near, but God was even nearer. So God raised up a reluctant man. That man was Gideon. And as you look at the life of Gideon, what makes him different than anybody else? I mean, he was not outwardly more courageous than anybody else. As a matter of fact, when you look at the life of Gideon, you see anything but courage, but that's not how God addressed him. God used Gideon because I think Gideon thought differently. We're in Judges chapter 6, and I want to pick it up verse number 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and has given us into the hand of the Midianites." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in your strength. You have to save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Now, before we go too far, watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. We talked about that yesterday. God looked at Gideon, and Gideon did not consider himself a mighty warrior, but God said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," or "mighty man of valor." God was looking at Gideon and says, "Gideon, you're not thinking right now, but you're going to be thinking differently. You're going to be different. So what area of my life do I need to transform in order for me to think differently so that God can use me courageously? Maybe I need to think differently about my marriage. Maybe I need to think differently about my work or my church or my money or maybe some sin that I have justified." I want you to know that God wants you to have his mind. He wants you to think like he thinks. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, it says, we're beginning at verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." If you're a friend of God, God says, "You know, I got some plans for you, but you got to think differently. You got to stop thinking on the plane that you're thinking on right now." Gideon was opened to a different way of thinking. He begins his process and he's mightily defeated. He's down there thrashing, hiding out from the enemy, defeated, discouraged, despondent. And God says, "Hey, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Start thinking about yourself a little bit differently. Don't think like a loser, think like a winner. I'm going to use you to free my people from the Midianites." Yeah, you're my man, Gideon. You know, every time God does something, he always has somebody in mind. When God wanted to build walls around this city of Jerusalem, he says, "Nehemiah, hey, you're my man." When God wanted to free his nation from the Egyptian bondage, God says, "You know what, Moses? Hey, you're my man." When God wants to do mighty things, he always raises up somebody. When God wanted to save his people from starvation, he said, "Joseph, you're my man." You see, every time God does something, he has somebody in mind. When God was going to destroy the whole world by a flood and spare Noah and his family, God says, "Noah, you're my man. You and your 8 family members are the only ones who are righteous in the world, but you're my man." Now God is saying, "Hey, Gideon, you're my man. The Midianites have held you captive long enough. It's been 7 long years. Gideon, you're my man. I'm going to use you to set my people free. Stop thinking yourself as a coward. Stop thinking as a fear-driven person. Think as a person that is courageous, a mighty man of valor." So Gideon thought differently, but secondly, Gideon also moved instantly. Listen, when God speaks, that's when it's time to move. Gideon replied, we're down to verse number 17 of Judges chapter 6. "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you that is talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and his broth in a pot. He brought them out and he offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat, take the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour them on the broth." Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat, the unleavened bread, with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." You see, Gideon lacked faith, but he didn't stop moving on what God called him to do. In your times of doubt, in your times of discouragement, move instantly on what you know you should do. Let me give you an example of that. You may feel real discouraged right now. You say, "Man, I'm going to stop going to church." Don't do that. Even when you're discouraged, go to church. Even when you feel like you don't want to go, you go. Because you need that encouragement of other believers. We're to encourage one another, especially as we see the days approaching. Maybe you're discouraged with your marriage. So that's it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a time of separation from my spouse. Don't do that. Stay with her. Stay with him. Try to work it out. You know, separation is the first step to divorce, not the first step to reconciliation. Stay together. Do the right thing. Maybe you don't like your job. You say, "I'm frustrated with the job." Well, you keep going to that job until God gives you another job. Don't quit one job until you have another job. Stay in there. Keep doing what you know you need to do. If you'll be faithful in that job that God's giving you right now, I promise you, with the right time, God will open up another opportunity for you. Or maybe he'll give you a promotion in the job that you're at right now. I remember not too long ago, my son was getting very frustrated with the place that he was working. And I told him, I said, "Well, just hang in there." I said, "Don't just quit." He said, "I'm going to quit, Dad." I said, "Don't just quit." I said, "You go ahead and look for another job. But in the meanwhile, you be the best worker you could possibly be." You know, he's stuck at that job and he's still at that job today. And now he's been promoted. And now he's the manager of that particular branch of this company that he works for. You see, sometimes we quit way too early. I think too many times people quit on Monday and God was ready to bless them on Tuesday. Hang in there. As we look at the life of Gideon, Gideon lacked faith, but he kept doing what he knew he should do. Exodus chapter 33 in verse 20, Moses has an encounter with God. In his devotion with God, he's so close to God and he wants to see God face to face. In Exodus 33:20, it says, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." But God allowed a theophany to take place. That is God taking on the form of a man, an angel, and a vision, and an object, and that is a burning bush. You see, God had also given Gideon this time to prepare a sacrifice, and during this time of preparing the sacrifice, this fire flares up in the rock by the angel of the Lord. Now, this is the most unusual form of a theophany. It's called the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, which could include any of the angelic hosts created by God. So the angel of the Lord here is identified in the accounts with Yeshua himself, Jesus himself, appearing only occasionally in human form. Now the account of the angel of the Lord with Hagar is of most significance in connection with Genesis chapter 16. So we see from time to time, God has these encounters with us, and he's wanting us to take action. So he's going above and beyond what is ordinary. So when God's ready to do something extraordinary, he always does things to get his message across in an extraordinary fashion. So what area of my life do I need to move instantly on to change? When God speaks, that's the time to move. Number three, we see in Gideon that he was a guy who also obeyed completely. It wasn't a partial obedience, it was complete obedience. You see, God appears in his form of an angel to Gideon, and he speaks to Gideon. That angel got his attention. Now the Lord can deliver the message to Gideon. Judges 6:25, here's the message. "That same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's horn, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of its height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering.'" Now, Gideon was just a little bit of a slow learner, but when he finally got it, he obeyed. God is impatient to the point where we are slow. But God is very patient when we see that we're moving in the right direction. We see Gideon is slowly moving in that direction. So what area of my life do I need to obey God completely? Gideon was obedient to God in complete obedience. He took down the Asherah poles, the poles that were set up to worship Baal. Now, Gideon's father had done this, and so now he's going against family, but he's doing the right thing. And he's doing it methodically. And matter of fact, we know that he was somewhat of a coward because he did this at night. He didn't do it during the day. But he tears down that altar and he uses that wood that is left over that altar to make the proper kind of altar to the Lord. You see, as you look at obedience, God prefers obedience over sacrifice. Well, here's the fourth thing that we learn about Gideon, why God used him, is that Gideon grew. He grew steadily. You know, one of the challenges that you will have as a follower of Christ is in this area of growth. You see, when you first come to Christ, you grow really fast. And everybody goes, oh man, that's amazing. You're growing so fast. Especially if your conversion is very spectacular. I mean, people will listen intently to what God is doing and what he's done in your life, and you're a hero. But with time, you go from a hero to a zero. But then your growth must start to develop inwardly, dealing with issues like your spiritual character. Now, I point all this out because it's been my experience that the most vital time of a person's life spiritually, once they become a follower of Christ, generally is that 3 to 5 year frame after they've been saved, 3 to 5 years after their salvation experience. Why is that so dangerous? Because at that stage, people have heard your story, people have seen your growth, but now you're no longer front and center. Now you've got to continue to grow without having that affirmation that you've experienced. Now people expect you to act more like a Christian because you've been around long enough. When you were first saved, they looked past some things in your life, but now they have a higher expectation from you. Growing steadily. When you think about losing the applause of men, does that cause you to not grow? When you're no longer the center of the attention, does that cause you not to grow? You see, spiritual character is developed without the applause of men. Having a deep relationship with Christ so that you can develop into a deep and mature disciple of Christ often happens in the wilderness experience. It often happens in those quiet moments. It's not on the stage when the lights are shining on you and when the crowds are cheering for you. Becoming a strong follower of Christ is in those hidden moments, those times when you listen to the still small voice of the Lord, when he begins to chisel away at your heart. It's that slow, painstaking process, little steps and little victories along the way. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace for those who have been trained by it." You see, God is preparing Gideon. In chapter number 6, we see that God is doing great things in preparing Gideon for what he's going to be doing in chapter number 7. Had Gideon failed to be obedient to the test in chapter number 6, he would not have seen the victory that he experienced in chapter number 7. We see this area of obedience that he destroyed the altar. He obeyed, even though he was fearful, he obeyed. He was more afraid of displeasing God than he was in disappointing his family. He also confronted his town. He goes and he confronts his son Joash, and he decides that he's going to destroy the altar of Baal and the Asherah poles. Joshua comes out and says, "Oh no, you're not going to destroy this altar of Baal. If you try, you're going to die tomorrow." But he sticks by his guns. Gideon's new nickname becomes Jerubbabel. Let Baal contend against him. We also see that Gideon in chapter number 6, he rallied those who were on his side to go against the enemies. As you think about conflict, he's experiencing some major conflict. But in the midst of this conflict, he's experiencing intimacy with God. Well, we could go on and on to see the accomplishments of what Gideon did in chapter number 6, but I want to ask you this question. What area in your life do you need to steadily grow in? Maybe there's an area of your life that you've kind of got complacent about. Maybe it's an area of giving, or maybe it's an area of being in God's word. Maybe it's an area of serving. Maybe you just got complacent about praying. You know what breaks my heart? And I can tell when a person's starting to drift in their relationship with Christ. Their actions speak volumes. I was talking to a man one time and I was very concerned about him. I says, "Man, what's happened to you?" He said, "Man, nothing's happened to me. I'm still in love with Jesus. I'm still coming to church." And I said, "Well, you know, you used to always come to prayer meeting and pray with us. And I noticed you stopped coming to prayer meeting." I said, "Man, you used to always go to small group and you couldn't wait to get to small group and you loved the interaction and you always were prepared for small group. And now you're hit and miss with small group." And I said, "Man, you used to always come to church and you always be the first one there. And now I see you rushing in the last minute and the worship is all over and you're just coming in just in time for the message." I said, "Man, what's happening? You're starting to lose your first love." He said, "Oh man, everything's good. Everything's cool." You know, 6 months later, this person just dropped out of the church. I was heartbroken. I saw the handwriting on the wall and I tried to lovingly confront him, but he got so caught up in that complacency. What area of my life do I need to continue to develop? Well, we see that Gideon has another characteristic in his life, and that he was able to achieve the impossible. Gideon's going up against his Midianites, and he begins, and he has an army that is huge, right? Gideon has 32,000 troops, but God says, you know, that's too big. That sounds kind of strange, because Gideon's going up against the Midianites. Gideon has 32,000 troops, and the Midianites have 135,000 troops. Well, God says, that's too big, Gideon, and says to Gideon, well, anybody who just wants to go home, let them go home. If they're cowards, they don't want to fight, let them go home. 22,000 of Gideon's troops abandoned him. Wow, unbelievable. Well, now we see that Gideon's got a small army, down about 9,700, and that's still pretty unbelievable odds, but maybe he can pull it off, and God says, no, no, that's still too big. And all of a sudden, the army goes from 9,700 down to 300. Now, as you look at 300, the odds of Gideon defeating the Midianites with 300 soldiers are 450-1. But Gideon's example proves to us, through faithfulness, the faithfulness of a few, that many can become delivered. My wife and I used to often talk about the faithfulness of a few. We said we'd rather have 300 faithful people than 3,000 unfaithful people. You see, Gideon realized that God was going to do a mighty work through him, and God was going to get the credit for it. God was going to get all of the glory. What area of my life do I need to trust God for the impossible? What area of my life do I need to trust him completely? When we look at the life of Gideon, he puts out this fleece. And I'm sure you know the story of Gideon's fleece. And when we think about that, we think, wow, he was a great man of faith. He put that fleece out. Now, the opposite really is true. Because he lacked faith, he used a fleece. I want you to know that God has spoken. You don't need to have a fleece experience, a confirmation. When God speaks, that ought to be enough. Gideon was weak in his faith, but he developed into a mighty man of valor through obedience. As you look at your life today, I want you to spend just a moment thinking about, where's your life going to be in 5 years from now? Where's your life going to be in 10 years from now? When you think about the future of your life, how can you change something today to make a big difference tomorrow? I think about the decisions that we make in life, and we only have one life to live. James talks about the fact that if you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given. But it says, don't ask double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We must ask in faith, because if you don't have faith, you're going to waver. I want to encourage you to be a person of faith. As you have listened to this broadcast today, maybe there's some areas in your life that you are lacking faith on. You know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, notice it doesn't say it's hard to please God without faith. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith has substance to it. It's not a leap into the darkness. It's actually a leap into the light. Hebrews 11:1 says that there's substance to our faith. That means there's something solid to our faith. What is solid in our faith? It's not the faith in our faith. It's the faith in the substance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same exact power that can sustain you. If you will tap into the faith of God, you will discover that you have more power than you know what to do with. You have more wisdom than you know what to do with. That is the great thing about being a follower of Christ. Christ infuses us with the Spirit of God, and that Spirit guides us through the difficulties of life. That Spirit causes us to celebrate the good things in our lives. The Holy Spirit is called a counselor, one who gives us instructions in our times of need. Maybe you need somebody to speak into your life right now. Listen, the Spirit of God is living within you. He will instruct you and guide you. The Spirit of God also convicts us. Oh, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It is my prayer today that the Spirit of God may be convicting you about a particular area of your life, that it needs to be taken care of. And it doesn't need to be taken care of tomorrow. It needs to be taken care of today, right this moment. Listen, when God speaks, that's the time for you to move. So, Lord, we come before you today. I pray for the one listening to this broadcast today that is in that valley of indecision. And they're vacillating. Deep down, they know the right thing to do because your word has told them the right thing. But on the surface, they're trying to be coming up with these excuses as to why they can do the wrong thing. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will convict them, will get a hold of them, and they'll realize the error of their way. Lord, give them the strength to make the right decision. Gideon was a reluctant judge, but he finally followed in obedience. So Lord, we pray that we can do the same thing. Follow in obedience all the days of our lives. We love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.